there powerful organizations working behind the scenes today? Are they directing the destiny of our nation? If such forces do exist, can we hope to know anything about them? Welcome to Radio Liberty, featuring the commentary of Dr. Stanley Monteith. Dr. Stan is a retired orthopedic surgeon and student of history. 35 years of studying the perilous condition of liberty here in America has given Dr. Stan a unique insight into what's really happening in our country today. Learn the truth about the dark spiritual forces undermining both Christianity and freedom here in these United States. Let's join Dr. Stan for today's commentary.
Well, this is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us a very, very special guest, Commander Atkinson. He was a fighter pilot during the Vietnam War, naval fighter pilot. And, of course, we want to talk about what's happening to the American military today. But before we get into that, somebody had sent me a clipping from the newspaper. It's entitled Military Trouble by Spate of Wife Killings at Fort Bragg. It's the story of four killings in each instance, why the husband had killed the wives. In two instances, the husbands had committed suicide. The other two instances, the husbands had been accused of killing their wives just within the last couple of months. Now, three of these people were from the Special Forces. And, of course, the Special Forces people are taught how to kill. I mean, that's the purpose for Special Forces. They're taught how to kill, and in wartime, you've got to kill the enemy. You don't kill the enemy, he's going to kill you. But what happens if you teach people how to kill without giving them a strong moral foundation, something to believe in, to believe that killing can be justified when your family or your country are endangered? What happens if we remove any concept of God and we're just training men to kill, but with no moral foundation behind them? Well, there is a move today to do that with the entire U.S. military, to take God out of our military academies, specifically out of the Annapolis, and then, of course, there's efforts to take prayer out of the Virginia Military Institute. But this is the prelude to taking prayer and an acknowledgement of God out of our entire U.S. military. What do you think we will have when we have a powerful military force made up of men trained to kill, but no moral foundation? What then, what is the future for the American population when we have a military that is allegiance is to man rather than to God? And with that thought, I wanted to introduce Commander Atkinson. Commander, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Stan. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Why don't you just sort of pick up and tell people why you're so concerned? And Commander Atkinson writes essays. He spends all of his time trying to make people understand what's happening to the Naval Academy. And, of course, if it's happening to the Naval Academy, you can be sure it's happening to all of our military academies, as there is an effort to undermine the fabric of Western civilization, Western Christian civilization. Go ahead.
It's interesting that you brought that subject up. I just finished uploading onto my website on the Internet an essay on the military-civilian culture gap, which was so widely discussed in the latter part of the 1990s. And based on surveys that were conducted by academics down at the Triangle Institute of Strategic Studies down in the Raleigh-Durham area, Duke University, North Carolina, and North Carolina State. And what they found was that the military is more religious than the culture, civilian culture at the large, and they're also more conservative. They have essentially recruited from and obtained an officer corps that comes from Christian families that are more representative in the military than they are in civilian life. So the upshot of what I found in that research and what I'm going to talk a little bit about today is the fact that it isn't a military-civilian culture gap now so much, and it never was. It's a culture gap reminiscent of the culture war that's been going on in this country and civilian life for the last 30 years. But let me read you a quote that I got from a lady that subscribes to my Eternal Vigilance Journal, Jean, out in way out in Washington, the state of Washington. And it's a quote from Cicero from 42 B.C. He was the Roman statesman that is well known in history. And this quote goes like this, and it fits today. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their garments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared. The interesting thing, Stan, today is that maybe treason is too strong a word to describe what's going on. There are good-hearted, well-intentioned people in this country who are undermining the American Republic just as Rome was being undermined in the day of Cicero's traitors. And I want to talk to you about two of those people here in the state of Maryland where I live.
All right, fine. Well, you're going to have to hold that off until we get back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. But right now, we're going to have to take a moment and really tell our listeners about some of the products that make this program possible. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention, if you believe in what we're doing and would like to help us, one of the things you could do would be to switch your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. And you do that by calling 866-448-5631. That's 886-448-5631. We just recently got our telephone bill, and of course I had an old AT&T card so I could call from my hotel, call home, and of course, you know, wouldn't have to pay those exorbitant rates. $5.88 a minute was what they charged us. I think some $30 or $40 for 17-minute call I put in. Promise Vision charges you 25 cents for exactly the same thing. So you have a calling card. You can call home. The prices overall are excellent, you know, for just general calling. And not only that, but 15% of whatever your calls are will revert to Radio Liberty. So again, that number to call is 866-448-5631, and you'll get a real live human being. And then we want to mention again the Phonopoly program. It is a program for teaching your children, your grandchildren, to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And it's a wonderful program. It's loads of fun. It plays just like Monopoly. And the child will learn how to pronounce the words. And even if you have never been trained in phonics, you'll begin to think things through logically, and you'll learn the 12 basic rules of the English language that will let you know when an A is pronounced A and when it's pronounced aw, and when an E is an E and when it's an A. You need to have all of these sounds in your vocabulary. If you watch Phonopoly program, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Call right now. Have you ever wondered what
the Vietnamese War was really all about. Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Commander Atkinson, Gerald Atkinson. And I wanted to mention, I did an earlier program today on the American Freedom Network with Colonel Juan Ray, and I'm sure Commander Atkinson knows him. Colonel Ray was saying that it's just 10 years since he participated on a panel which had been put together by then Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, the man who today is our Vice President. But in those days, Dick Cheney was the Secretary of Defense, and he put together a panel on military readiness and packed it with people who actually believed in women in the military and in homosexuality and bringing the homosexuals into the military. And of course, one of the men who was asked to testify was David Horowitz. Now, David Horowitz was raised in a communist family. He led the communist movement on the West Coast during the Vietnam War. He was the publisher of Rampart's magazine. And he testified that the communists had really infiltrated every one of the basic institutions of the United States. The hardcore revolutionaries had set to undermine the fabric of our society, and how successful they had been able to undermine everything in America except for the military. And they felt that they thought that the Vietnam War would destroy the military because it would be a no-win war and the people would become demoralized, but it hadn't succeeded in destroying the spirit of our fighting men. So their next step was, of course, to bring women into the military and homosexuality into the military, because they knew that would eventually destroy the belief of the men who were called to fight our battles. And, of course, Colonel Ray said that after the hearing, he went to David Horowitz and he said, well, what about the church? What did you do? And David said, well, that was the easiest thing of all. I mean, we infiltrated the seminaries, the Christian seminaries, 50 years ago. That wasn't hard at all. And that's, of course, why today the music and the message of our church has been changed. Not that the average minister knows anything at all about what's happened. It's just that his teaching had nothing to do with the scriptures. He glosses everything over with a lot of superficial talk. But when it gets right down to the fear of God and the respect of God, yes, God is a loving God, but he's also the God who created the heaven and the earth, and he's supposed to be just like a big daddy Santa Claus. Now, where is the reverence for the God who created the heaven and the earth? And we just don't teach that anymore, or about sin or hell or the fact that people who do not accept a salvation and the free offer of salvation are going to spend eternity in hell. We don't even talk about hell anymore. So let's get back to what we're talking about. Commander Atkinson is talking really about some people who are really working in his state, which is Maryland, to undermine the very fabric of our society there. Why don't you pick up the story, Commander?
Right, Stan. There was a word for that back in the 50s. They called certain people, the U.S. citizens, people that went along with that socialist liberal left line, fellow travelers, and those others who had no inkling at all of whose doctrine they were following, they called those people useful idiots, and we see those people in society today. Those are the people that I was talking about earlier, of people who are well-intentioned, acting in their own best interests, and they kind of come together to bring forth the same kind of atmosphere that would have come about if there was some big, powerful hand behind the scenes operating at all. Let me give you an example of two of those people. The people that I have written about in an essay on my website called The Anatomy of a Closet Leftist. And there are two of these people that when they get together in the state of Maryland is going to usher in a dark age for the young children and their parents.
And, of course, wasn't one running for governor and the other running for assistant governor?
Well, that's one of them is the person I'll talk about later who is running in the November 2002 election, the lieutenant governorship of the state of Maryland. But the first one I want to talk about is Deborah Rothman. She's a typical boomer elite, one of those 8 million or so of that generation who started their countercultural revolution in the mid-60s and attempted to bring it to a conclusion with executive power in the 1990s when the Clintons came into power. She is one of those who spawned the women's liberation movement that became the sexual revolution that encouraged young women to assume for themselves the male libido as a mark of being so-called emancipated. Well, we know the societal result of that revolution. It was a disaster for women. Illegitimate children, single parenthood resulting in poverty, men who bred and ran. If it was given free, why take the responsibility for the children? Welfare ran amok. Children raised in foster homes. Children raised without fathers growing up in a gang culture and a resulting broad-scale gender war between men and women. Now, we've seen that come to pass in the last 30 years. Now, what do those people claim, the Deborah Rothmans of the boomer generation? Well, without accepting a shred of blame for the guilt or guilt for its damage that they spawned, they're the ones that say they are to lead America out of the darkness of their own making. Ms. Rothman is now a sexologist in her middle-aged years. The young ones, I mean the real young ones, call her in the state of Maryland the sex lady. And after 25 years of teaching sex education, Deborah Rothman has earned that unofficial title. She believes that children are ready for sexual information much earlier than we adults think they are. She starts teaching the basics of sexuality in the fourth grade. Well, what is that? What has been the impetus for her doing this? In going back to speaking the language of the conservative folks who Cicero warned us about, why did she want to teach the basics of sex at an early age? Well, she claims that the fact that 50% of our teenagers have already had sexual intercourse, of course, the abstinence message is not fruitful. Well, she asked, then, where have we left them if all we have is teaching abstinence? Well, the answer, of course, is the classroom today is vacant in the teaching of morality. But Deborah Rothman would not admit to that fact. She would invent her own morality. Well, what happened as a result of her teaching the basics of sexuality and sexual behavior in the K-12 schools, public and private, over the past 30 years? Well, it's a sexual environment where we learn in a private school in her locale, by the way, a sophomore secretly videotaped himself, having sex with a 15-year-old girl, and then played it for his junior lacrosse teammates. A day later, a varsity player borrowed the tape and showed it to his teammates. Well, add that to the list of children's inappropriate sexual behavior. Oral sex among middle schoolers, fifth graders freak dancing, that's body grinding, and kindergartners imitating Britney Spears. And you have the sexual movement spawned by the Ms. Rothmans of the nation. That's an outgrowth of that boomer counterculture revolution that preceded, preached to women the credo that our bodies ourselves. Well, that isn't all that Ms. Rothman has done. What is her answer to that state of affairs? Well, she uses the disastrous result of that sexual revolution to attempt to convince us to accept a new morality based on the supreme central core of our own personal sexuality. In an essay in the Outlook section of the Sunday Washington Post within the last 6 months, she uses the language of Cicero's quote, in this case the language of the conservative Christian voice, against the sexualizing of our children, to make a very reasoned claim that something is rotten in Denmark, the rottenness being of her and their making. But she gives us a new answer. What she wants us to accept is the answer that she is the New Age goddess of a new religion. It's based on our sexuality. She wants to place meaning into the sexual being of our children. Of course, the meaning is Ms. Rothman's gift to mankind. She calls it a completion of the work of the well-intentioned but long-stalled revolution, the counterculture revolution. And she would say that we missed our opportunity to make an ethic out of it. Well, what is the ethic? Well, the ethic is the morality of her New Age sexual preaching. And she has proposed in that article these new commandments. It's a foundation of the version of new version of a new center of life, her sexuality, our sexuality. And what are they? Here are the new commandments. Honesty, caring, responsibility, privacy, respect, and mutual consideration. Now, she claims those are values that we expect our children to bring to any sexual relationship, from first kisses to intercourse in its various forms. Can you imagine the audacity? Cicero was absolutely right.
All right, fine. Well, of course, fortunately, the latest statistics show that more and more of our girls graduating from high school now are virgins. In fact, the abstinence message is having a great effect out there. And, of course, they don't want us to know that. They keep screaming and yelling. And the reason they're screaming and yelling so much is that we're making real inroads with the children. A lot of these young people want somebody to tell them what to do. And thank goodness for some of the people out there, Kathleen Sullivan, I don't know if you know her, but Barbara McQuiggan and dozens of others, are out going across America telling people what their parents should tell them, what the schools should have been telling them in the past, but of course haven't. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back here in just a moment, and we'll invite your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But right now, certainly we want to mention to our listeners that we carry the Robinson educational course. It is basically a program by which you can take your child from kindergarten all the way through graduation from high school. It's on 22 CD discs with a complete encyclopedia, Britannica, 1911, 1913, Noah Webster's Dictionary, before they begin to change the meaning of words and rewriting history. All sorts of textbooks and wonderful adventure stories are there. Your tests, your lesson plans. The parent really doesn't have to do very much. The child does almost all of this. And the whole program for the entire education, other than the math textbooks which you have to buy, is $199.95. If you'd like more information, you'd like to order one, our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we have many, many people out there who are using them. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a neutralizer and a lotion and gel. And we can't make any medical claims for them, but we know that a lot of our people have used them, really feel that they've helped them, whether it be their back or sore muscles or whatever it would be, why they seem to be very, very happy with it. And many people feel that their skin rashes are better. Some people feel that their epigastric distress, which so many people have, has been helped by using the neutralizer. If you'd like to try the products, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-4489. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we hope that if you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, which goes on with the saga of what's wrong with vaccinations and why you should be concerned, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Commander Gerald Atkinson. And how can people get to your website, Commander?
You can dial it up with newtotalitarian.com.
All right, fine. That's newtotalitarians.com. And believe me, the end result will be a totalitarian state, because they've set out long ago to destroy the very foundations of our society. Some of these people are useful idiots. Others know exactly what they are doing. And, of course, they've always hated America. They still hate it today. And they will create an all-powerful centralized government here, merging with an all-powerful centralized government throughout the world. Of course, they're going to be very surprised when they find out who's really in charge, or that they have been working all this time for the very people who they thought were their enemy. Well, right now, of course, if you'd like to give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, we'd love to hear from you. But Commander Atkinson is talking really about what's happening back there in Maryland where he lives. So why don't you pick up your story, Commander?
Right, Stan, look, I want to finish off with Deborah Rothman, who wishes to become this New Age priestess of her nation's state-sponsored religion, essentially. Secular humanism based on a new foundation of our sexuality. Well, to make a comment, this sounds more like a pagan ethic than one that guides a Christian nation. And if you look at my website, you'll find that Ms. Rothman was the facilitator who guided us through a workshop devoted to making our schools safe for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth, which I attended and described in an essay at the link Homosexual Sensitivity Training on the front page of my website. Read that essay and you'll see how these mind control techniques of a change agent using sensitivity training is very, very powerful. It's invasive, it's authoritarian, and it's a totally totalitarian technique. And she's a master at using that. Let me talk to you then about the other part of that duo, when one person themselves can't do the damage that a group can do, what is about to happen in the state of Maryland is Admiral Charles Larson, who is the former superintendent of the U.S. Naval Academy, who was brought back to the Academy in 1994 as a full admiral, 4 stars, to square the place away after all of the cheating scandals and the car theft rings and all of those things. And he is now, after retirement, running for the vice...
Lieutenant governor?
Lieutenant governorship,
right.
The number two person in the state of Maryland, along with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. But let me tell you a little bit about him and how the hookup of him from the top and Ms. Rothman from the bottom is just a terrible danger for Maryland's K-12 school system. What happened to Larson in 1994, when he was brought in to clean up the Naval Academy, hired a Nancy Sherman, a doctor with a doctorate in philosophy from Georgetown University, and she came in and set up a New Age ethics program, completely new, under the leadership department at the U.S. Naval Academy.
Now, this is basically, for those who don't know, this is a pagan, anti-Christian, New Age is just the antithesis of Christianity.
If you take a look on my website, you'll see newspaper articles where I published in the Washington Times about 7 or 8 out of 13 articles on the debate about that program, the ethics program that I uncovered back in 1999. Look at the newspaper articles link on my website, and you'll see those essays that say specifically what I'm talking about now. What she did is she set up, and he himself, in an essay there, describing this, it's called Leadership and Ethics Training at the Academy. He himself, in introducing the program, used the language of change agents who had come to facilitate this new set of ethics based on the flawed Enlightenment philosophers. And they would use Kurt Lewin's powerful T-group sensitivity training methods in character development seminars to do this. And I started out with just Admiral Larson's memo to Blue and Gold Club boosters. He's speaking the language of the victims. What did it end up with? Well, it ended up with Nancy Sherman's new ethics program, which one of the civilian professors there, a young woman, said, we intend to transform the soul of a 20-year-old.
And basically, it's a brainwashing technique, and this is what they do in any totalitarian society. And, of course, they simply use their position of power. As you, of course, when you're in a naval academy, why you have to be subservient to what you're being taught. And they use our tax dollars to transform these people from God-fearing people to those who will embrace the new socialist, the social ethic. And it is a socialist, authoritarian, godless ethic.
Larson brought Nancy Sherman in. Maybe he didn't know this, but I found out that she was a supporter of the homosexual domestic partners' rights legislation that she championed on a nationwide TV station for the state of New York. So that's where she came from, and she designed that new ethics program. And we thought at the time, well, Clinton had imposed this agenda from above and found somebody in the Secretary of the Navy, John Dalton, and John Dalton found someone that he could push and pressure Admiral Larson from above to implement this kind of program at the Naval Academy. Because, look, we at the time thought Admiral Larson, being a four-star admiral, command of the Pacific Command, a huge command on the West Coast. He was a former White House fellow, registered Republican Party member, former aide to President Nixon during 1969 and 1971 when he was a White House aide from the Navy. And he was a Golden Boy early on, marked for success as one of the top students in his class, 1958, as a midshipman. Well, what we find out now that Larson has left, what he really is, that all the time he was hiding in the garments of the conservative as one who was going to come in and clean up the Naval Academy, he's what I've called in this essay a closet a liberal leftist. And he's joined the Kennedy Kathleen Kennedy Townsend ticket, which is running on the most liberal platform that you can imagine in the state of Maryland. And we find out that Larson himself, like Cheney, you mentioned before, is a strong supporter of gay rights, which was a high-profile issue during the Paris-Glendening administration, which is the previous governor right now of the state of Maryland. Stems from the fact that Larson's daughter, Sigrid, is gay and lives in Philadelphia with her partner of 11 years. Well, now we find out why people who have children who turn gay, loving support of those people, go the next step and be promoters and a lobbyist for their agenda, the worst possible situation that you could imagine.
And so this man is running for lieutenant governor with somebody who is equally liberal running for governor?
Well, more liberal, actually. And Townsend has attempted to sell the idea that they have a conservative Republican running, who's a great administrator, running with her on her liberal ticket, that she supported the gay rights amendment to the non-discrimination laws in Maryland that was rammed through by Paris Glendening in the year 2001. And she bought that lock, stock, and barrel, and she's a part of that homosexual agenda that's trying to get that into the schools. And I'll tell you a bit about that later, and there's where Deborah Rothman comes in.
All right, and of course, Glendening was the governor who brought in the homosexual agenda into Maryland, and then, of course, he did not run again. Was he term limit out?
Yeah, he was term limited out. And look, there was another interesting fact about him. He was absolutely the most far-left governor in Maryland's liberal political history. Maryland is a state that always goes Democratic. He championed homosexual rights legislation that was ramrodded through the legislature before we, the citizens of Maryland, had a chance to vote on it. And the interesting thing is that why did he do that? Well, we find out that his brother, a 42-year-old brother who'd hid his sexual orientation during two decades in the Air Force, Bruce Glendenning, died of an AIDS-related illness in a Florida hospital while he was in office. Well, Glendenning, like Admiral Larson, like Cheney, became an advocate then for the homosexual agenda due out of the love of a family member who was a homosexual.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily love. For instance, we had a congressman here, his name was Huffington, and he ran for Senate on the Republican ticket. Of course, he ran against, I think, Dianne Feinstein, as I remember. He spent $50 million of his own to get elected, and of course he did not succeed. After, you know, he had lost the election for Senate as a conservative Republican, he announced, of course, that he was really a liberal homosexual. And he'd always been a liberal homosexual, but of course he had concealed that. We've got an awful lot of people out there who have given themselves over to evil, who have embraced the activist, the homosexual agenda, and they're running in the Republican Party. And, of course, people really don't understand that we've got a lot of people who lie. They get into office, and then they use that power to push this godless agenda, because that's really what it's all about, to get us to say that God is wrong and their agenda is right.
Let me tell you what Glendenning did before he left in 2001. He ramrodded through the state legislature, adding sexual orientation to those characteristics in the non-discrimination laws that you can't discriminate against, you know, the standard ones, race, gender, ethnicity, and national origin, added sexual orientation to that. And he ramrodded it through, and it was to become law in October of 2001 in the state of Maryland. Well, some very strong individuals in this state loosely organized groups of people who were homeschooling parents, activists from religious groups, and people that just opposed that, tried to get it on a ballot in November of 2002 to let the people of Maryland vote on it. And Trey Kearns, who is a leader of that organization called TakeBackMaryland.org, marshaled a huge number of people to get out and allow us to vote on that. And the upshot of it was is that they got enough signatures on a ballot that looked like that we were going to be able to push that through. Some 56,000 signatures, and all it required to turn in 47,000 of them. And it was 1,400 more than the group needed, and it was going to be on the ballot. Well, what happened is the homosexual lobby brought their lawyers to bear and made an attack on it, went through the arcane election laws, and it turned out that Trey and his group had to back down, and there was never evidence that the referendum didn't pass.
The one thing is they don't want is for the people to have anything to say about
exactly.
It. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here and remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters as we reach out 5 hours a day across America on radio, certainly on the Internet, on shortwave, and, of course, regular radio stations. We have an opportunity to reach people by satellite, but we need your help, quite frankly, and we hope many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, in return, we'll send you our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us what we do, and that is bring the truth to the American people. Freedom is lost when people aren't willing to take a stand. Believe me, there are lots of people there who want a dictatorship, who want to destroy Christian America because they hate God. And that's really what's really behind all of this. We hope that many of you out there will have the courage to do what's right and to join the Radio Liberty family and stand with us. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Commander Atkinson. If you're out there listening, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question, you agree, you disagree. If you think we're having problems, if you think America's a nation on the way down, it doesn't have to happen. It's only happening because the good people and the majority of people in America are good people, but they're not doing anything. The other side is organized, dedicated, as Benjamin Gitlow said of the revolutionaries he worked with here in America. They've given the whole of their lives. They go to meetings every day. Of course, they read constantly, and they're always working in the local school board. They're working in the local election office. In fact, I remember last time I was down at the local election office, there was a member of the local Communist Party working for an organization closely affiliated with the election office here in Santa Cruz, where I live. Do you think we're going to get honest elections? These people have no moral foundation. The one thing they want to do is destroy the America and the freedom that we have. So go ahead, pick this up, Commander.
Well, look, Stan, in spite of the fact that the homosexual rights activists denied that law that went into effect in November of 2001 would be used to introduce the homosexual agenda into the curriculum of Maryland schools, after all, it was only a law that dealt with the workplace and discrimination in housing in the workplace, but it didn't take but 6 months after the bill's passage that these same activists were at work doing just that. What the homosexual lobby did was they attempted to introduce regulations that would impose homosexual-friendly materials in the K-12 school curricula through the State Board of Education. And there were hearings held on that just several months ago. And what they would do is they would do this under the rubric of the slogan, making our schools safe for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered youth. Well, they stacked the deck with the school board, and the opponents had a hard time even getting in. I tried to call in and wasn't even able to testify. Well, the point is that's what's happening in this in the state right now, and with the interest that KKP gave or talked about in Larson's background of all that he did at the Naval Academy and how he took a great interest on being on state boards of education and things like that in the state of Maryland, you have a very dangerous mix. You have the guy at the university or at the Naval Academy that brought in Nancy Sherman and set the stage for the civilians that he brought in to make, after he left, Peter Singer required reading in the ethics course, the NE-203 Ethics and Moral Reasoning for Naval Leaders course. Peter Singer is right in as required reading in the curriculum of that course right next to St. Thomas Aquinas. Now,
why don't you explain to our listeners who Peter Singer is, and here's one of the most depraved men in the world, required reading at our Naval Academy? Now, come on now.
He is absolutely unacceptable to nearly all mainstream Americans. Singer is the Australian-born bioethicist who now holds the Ira W. DeCamp Distinguished Chair at Princeton University. Singer recently wrote in support on the Internet of a book on bestiality, which was reviewed on the website and had been discussed at great length. And what he is the leader of the animal rights movement, and he follows this logic based on that to question the taboo on sex with animals.
But he also thinks that it's all right to kill infants and really up to a couple of years of age. If you don't like them, they didn't turn out the right sex, whatever it is, you know, you have a right to kill your children. I mean, what sort of a depraved man is this? And the fact that he would be required reading at the Naval Academy tells you a lot about the Naval Academy, tells you a lot about Princeton. You see, they've taken over our major universities. These people work as a conspiracy. They help one another into the key positions. And we have the president of Princeton saying, well, after all, we have to have academic freedom. But how many evangelical Christians do they have on the ethics department there? And I would suggest that you don't have any. You know, and very, in fact, you have a hard time even getting a PhD if you're a conservative Christian from one of the mainline schools, because they won't give them, because they don't want any opposition. These people aren't interested in academic freedom. They're interested in totalitarianism, and they use our universities not to educate but to indoctrinate.
Stan, look, go back to my reading of Cicero, and that's what I put it, why I put it in this essay. Okay, here is a perfect case of that, because the six-page essay that they made required reading in the NE 203 required ethics core curriculum there.
Now, this is
was an essay on altruism. Altruism, not a mention of this other stuff.
They
try to sneak the guy in under the rubric of being, hey, everybody is for altruism, why can't we study that, irrespective of who wrote it, without recognizing who the guy is. And this is a guy that said, and in, I've quoted this from material he has publicly put out, when it comes to sex with farm animals, the only real issues are whether you get the animal's consent and you don't kill it as part of your pleasure. Well, now look, a person like that, and a person that is believes in neonaticide up to 28 days after the birth of a child because it has reached some stage of personhood, is morally not only corrupt, deviant, and evil. Now, he has recently come out against religion. He is an atheist, by saying that religion is harmful to animals because in Genesis there's starting concept of what he calls speciesism. That is, humans are dominant over animals, plants, and everything else on the face of the earth.
Well, now, of course, what did the people at the Naval Academy say when people complained about Pete Seeger?
Look, what we've done is got that out of it. It took 2 years for people called Concerned Alumni, a counter organization to the ruling fiefdom there at the Academy for the Naval Academy alumni, to expose this to the people there at the Naval Academy who were simply claimed that they weren't aware of it, and their argument was, well, how can this guy be bad? This is just, or how could we be bad? Because this altruism essay is a great essay. And a lot of Naval Academy alumni ate that word. They took it up and said, gee, that's not so bad. But we kept at it, and finally we've got that out of the curriculum. They just announced just recently that that's out, and also a couple of other things that they did in their character development seminars are out, but only after we exposed it and the Washington Times wrote essays about it and on the website, we finally got that out of there. But still, the damage is still there. The basic Enlightenment philosophers, the moral relativism is completely taken over that ethics course, and it's mandatory.
And, of course, you were actually criticized and you know, for being a bad guy for bringing this up and, of course, embarrassing the Navy. How dare you do that? I mean, you became the subject, not the, you know, the corruption on the inside.
Look, that's true, but the point is there's no need to be afraid of four-star admirals when they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, you take a look at my essay on Russo and take Admiral Leon Edney apart when he criticized me and essentially likened me to Joe McCarthy and exposing what's going on there. But we're working. The Concerned Alumni are working on it, and they are having some impact.
And of course, these are really many of the truly loyal and great American admirals. I mean, certainly Admiral Thomas Moore and Admiral Hill, and many others are working. These are wonderful, wonderful people. But unfortunately, we've got a lot of people who are four-star admirals who are political appointments, whose loyalty is not to America, but to this other philosophy. So I commend you for your willingness to stand up. We're just about out of time. What message would you like to leave with our listeners here in the Central Coast of California and out across America?
Look, Stan, we have to resist. We have to stand up and resist. We have to become active. I came out of retirement in 1993 and have been working 7 days a week since that time on this new project. Has become an obsession. More of us individuals have to do this, stand up and tell people what's great about this country, what there is to preserve, and that there is a history worth preserving and not sending it into the dustbin of history.
Amen to that. Well, thank you for everything you do. Our guest has been Commander Atkinson. His website is www.newtotalitarians.com. Is that .com or .org?
It's .com, Stan.
Okay, .com. And he's got several books he's written. I recommend them to you. Thanks so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Stan.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Commander Atkinson. You have to understand that some men die in foxholes and some men die and go down in flames, but most men die just bit by bit playing foolish little games. Commander Atkinson could be out playing golf. Instead of that, he's working. I could be traveling and having a comfortable life. Instead of that, I'm 5 hours every day doing what I do on the radio. Colonel Ron Ray, a retired Marine Corps colonel I interviewed this morning, I could be enjoying life or making a lot of money as a lawyer. Instead of that, he's doing a lot of work, most of it pro bono, trying to get people to understand that there is an attack on the religious and Christian foundation of this country. And if you don't understand that's what's going on today, then you have no idea at all of what's taking place, because Christianity is under attack. And the reason we're losing is because the church is silent. The churches all across America are silent because so many of the leaders have more fear of government than they do of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers. And we want you to try to get to your minister and try to get him to be willing to take a stand for righteousness, because he doesn't have to support the Democrats or the Republicans because they're both corrupt. But what he has to do is be willing to say they are corrupt and explain and tell people about the spiritual forces that are moving us towards the New World Order and the One World Government. It's all in the Bible. If he studied the Bible, if he believed in it, he would understand the signs of the times today. And then, of course, we ask you, of course, to pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, then God will turn his back on the American people forever. And then we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Mom!